We are back. Scott Beeson filling in on Right Side Radio. Phil Williams will be back Monday, so you'll have to suffer through for me for two more hours. But yes, I managed to wander off down a rabbit trail and not get back to the story. But here is the story. Fox News is finally catching up, but I was right there. I could have been ahead for you, but no, I ran my mouth way too long and didn't get it. China threatens to shoot down Nancy Pelosi's plane if she makes a stop in Taiwan. The reason I was telling you about the Chinese government, the Chinese media, and how you don't do things, they don't do things without the Chinese government allowing it. So I'll kind of give you the information. We'll start with Xi Jinping. Chinese President Xi Jinping warned Joe Biden during a phone call this week. And I don't remember seeing this in the news, but he warned the president about Taiwan and said, those who play with fire will perish by it. Now, clearly, we need to work on our, understanding the Bible and literature and that kind of stuff, because it's supposed to be sword. But hey, if the Chinese want to use fire, it's probably in their new version of the Bible anyway. But those who play with fire will perish by it. My first question is, do you think that conversation would go that way between Xi Jinping and Donald Trump? Would the Chinese president call Donald Trump and say, hey, now you need to understand that those who play with fire will perish by it? How would that conversation go with Donald Trump? With Joe Biden, we have no idea. But it gets better, okay? So someone who writes for the Global Times. The Global Times is one of these state-controlled Chinese news outlets. They kind of have the ability to claim, hey, look, we don't know. That's just an opinion writer. It's just a blogger. It's just a person over at the Global Times. You know, it's just freedom of the press. He can say what he wants. That's not the way it works in China. If you are going to go and say something super controversial, super in your face, super threatening of the United States, you run it by the communist leaders, okay? That's how it works. This is what was put in the Global Times. If U.S. fighter jets escort Pelosi's plane into Taiwan, it is an invasion. This is Hu Zijin, an analyst for the Global Times. The PLA, that's the People's Liberation Army, that's the communist military, the Chinese Communist Army. The PLA has the right to forcibly dispel Pelosi's plane and the U.S. fighter jets, including firing warning shots and making tactical movement of obstruction. Period. Then they go on. If ineffective, then shoot them down. That does not make it. That kind of statement, not endorsed by the Chinese government, will get you in heap big trouble in Chinatown. Now look, like I said, I'm not a big fan of Nancy Pelosi. Not a big fan of Chuck Schumer. Not a big fan of Joe Biden. But I am a fan of the United States. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? Now, let me ask y'all, what should the United States do? I don't really think Nancy Pelosi was going to go. I will just about bet you, think about this, Boomer. What if Joe Biden already promised, oh, no, Nancy's not going to go to Taiwan. We're not going to go to Taiwan, President Xi. No, it's okay. We're not. I promise. And then the Chinese say, yeah, well, if you go there, we're going to shoot you down. Knowing that she's not. So how does the United States look in the face of the world? That's right. We look like we're scared. Well, why didn't Nancy Pelosi go to Taiwan? Because the Chinese told them, you go over there, we're going to shoot your butt down. That's why. You know, they can't even win their little proxy war in the Ukraine, getting their tails handed to them over there. Now they're scared of us. They're scared of everybody. The only thing the United States does is go to third world countries and whip up people, whip up on people riding donkeys and camels. That's what we do, apparently. Is that what we want the world to see us as? Because that's definitely what the Chinese are making happen. That America looks like we're weak. Now, yesterday, I was saying something about the fact that, look, there are a lot of Americans are very, very put out, very, very upset. And I don't think that Washington, D.C. understands the full extent to how upset Americans really, really are out in the hinterlands, out away from the big cities, off the coast. But I want to read some, and I'm going to have to clean up some of the comments. So I'm looking at this article where the Chinese are threatening to shoot down the United States Speaker of the House and our jets, the whole nine yards, if she happens to go to Taiwan, who is one of our allies. And I'm going to read these in order. One of them might be stupid, I don't know. But I want you to understand. Look at it like what I said yesterday, that people are really upset. So here's the first one, 40 minutes ago. This story's not very long. China's just screwing around with us, getting our hopes up. What? This is the second one. I think many people would offer to pay for the fuel and the pilot. Make America great again. Shoot down malignancy Pelosi. Let's go China. Bag that Nazi. If China will shoot down Pelosi's plane, maybe she could take the whole January 6th committee with her. That's perfect. Hey, China, talk is cheap. Basically saying, I dare you. She's a commie. China followed up with an even bigger, more dire threat. Xi threatened to cut off the big guy in China, Mitch. Should we start a GoFundMe page? Give, send, go. Shoot the beep down. I wonder if they'd take it down and probably get a visit from the SWAT team at 3 a.m. Never let the Second Amendment out of your reach, especially in the dark of night. You never know when nefarious actors will knock on your door. That one seems out of place. Never with that one in hand. China goes MAGA. What would Dirty Harry say? Dirty Harry might say to China, go ahead, make my day. I think we should reward China with lower tariffs if they did this. Doing jobs Americans want to do. Go, Nancy, go. Xi's only bluffing. Is there a GoFundMe page to help China out? I'm reading these in order. Do you think we can get China to nuke D.C. too? If not D.C., how about a couple of deep blue crap hole cities? It just goes on and on and on and on with people who are like, fine. I told you my response. My first response is, what are they doing? I may dislike them, but they're still Americans. China doesn't seem to care. But there is a deep, deep-seated resentment in this country. Not only for Democrats, but for the Washington, D.C. elite. The crowd that's writing these comments is a, these people are huge pro-American, red-blooded, wave the flag, rah-rah, USA, USA, USA kind of folks. And we have gotten to the point where our first reaction is, go ahead, do it. Help us out. That is a huge change. That is a huge change in the mindset. Because historically, and it's been used against us, frankly, historically, the militaristic stand for the country, stand for the flag people are the red state people or the Southerners. The South has a very militaristic background. We're the ones where our sons and daughters will go, yeah, we'll go fight the war. While the sons and daughters of the blue states continue to stay home and, you know, protest or something. But when the folks who their first reaction has always been for years, oh, bull crap, China. No, it's on now. You've done it now. It's time. We're bringing a boot to your butt. When that crowd starts saying, go ahead, China. Yeah, help us out. I'm telling you, that's a huge, the country is turning. And I'm telling you, people need to beware. There is a legitimate tinderbox out there, and our leaders need to tread a little more lightly, but I don't think they'll take my advice. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. We are back, everybody. If y'all could just, the show off the air is way better than the show on the air. Probably would cause us not to be on the air, and I'm responsible for all of it. Boomer is like appalled at everything I say, so let's just make that official, and has chained himself to a fence in protest for all of the lack of political correctness that I have. Last thing on this story about Nancy Pelosi being threatened with, hey, you better not go to China. I mean, better not go to Taiwan, or the Chinese military will come and shoot you down. On the comments page, I had to get up in the 30s before I got to the first person who said, oh, you can't be talking that kind of smack to the United States. 30-something person? That is how bad it is getting. So we are work on that. I told you this is a follow-up Friday, so I'm just going to go through some of the stories that we should have been talking about all week, and maybe y'all did on some of Right Side Radio and missed some of the things that I had missed. But golly, look at all this news. Oh, this is a great one. Did y'all see? No, everybody understands that Joe Biden is probably not going to be the Democrat nominee in 2024. I personally do not believe he is going to make it through his full term. But somebody, and if it was Jill Biden, she is far smarter, far more intelligent, far more strategic than I ever give her credit for. Pardon me, I forgot to say Dr. Jill Biden. Far more intelligent than I thought she was, because if she was one of the people who picked Kamala Harris to be the vice president of the United States, that was a brilliant move. Someone said, hey, you know, Joe's not all there. All the pieces to Joe are not still in the puzzle. And then somebody else said, yeah, but the puzzle was one of those, like, the 4-year-old puzzle that's really only like 8 pieces. That was Joe's puzzle to start with, and he's missing some pieces now. So it's big portions of the picture. But whoever picked Kamala was brilliant, because every time they think, you know, we really got to get rid of Joe. He doesn't know where he is. It's a bad situation. We got to get rid of Joe. Somebody in the room goes, did y'all forget that Kamala is the vice president? And they're like, dang, I keep forgetting that. Okay. President Biden said that's exactly what's happening. So this group goes to New Hampshire and does polling. And they're polling the likely 2024 presidential candidates. And you won't believe who is winning. You might believe who's winning. Depends how much you keep up. Now, it is a whole list of people that they went and polled to see who was winning. Joe Biden is not number one. He is in the list. They did test him, but he is not number one. Elizabeth Warren is not number one. You say, well, surely Bernie Sanders. Surely Bernie Sanders is number one. Nope. It's New Hampshire, Scott. Doesn't matter. It's not Bernie Sanders. Oh, it's the governor of California. He looks really slick and talks a good game. He's got this, they're building this whole idea that he's kind of like a JFK, young and suave. He'll be awesome. No, it's not him either. Well, how about Amy Klobuchar? She was somewhat competent. She ran for president last time. She's somewhat likable. Surely it's her. Oh, no, Amy Klobuchar she came in fifth place with 9%. Kamala Harris, seventh place. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she only had 5%. So guess who is polling the best, the most likely to win, or at this point in time, the presidential primary for the Democrat side in New Hampshire. I bet Boomer could guess, but he's busy. He's answering calls, and I'm about to go to the phone. Pete Buttigieg. How is that even possible? He was a half-baked mayor of not even a big city. He didn't do a great job there. Well, I've got a theory about it. Americans spend a lot of time virtue signaling. So we'll just kind of leave it like there for right now. Let's go to the phones. John's in Madison. John, welcome to the program. Thank you for listening.
Hey, Scott. Wanted to follow up if I could. Oh, by the way, I call him Pete Booty Fudge, but maybe I shouldn't say that on the radio. Up too late.
Well, I'm reading it, and I'm hooked on Pahonics, and it looks like Booty Gig to me.
Well, no. I'm sure you're saying it right. I'm just saying Booty Fudge. Never mind. Let's not go there. I want to correct something I said yesterday, because after all, I'm not a demon rat, and I will confess when I make an error. I think I said 500,000 about three times when I meant 500 million, and you were correct when you said that the World Economic Forum would like to place the population between 500 million and 1 billion. But like you said yesterday, we are at 7.8, almost 8 billion. So what are you going to do with the rest of those people? Oh, and by the way, have you heard the World Economic Forum, it came out today, wants to do away with us owning our cars, especially our fossil fuel-driven cars. So these guys are arrogant and stupid because, well, I think, in my opinion, they're letting us see their hand before they're in a position to be able to play it. So I hope, like I said yesterday, we start to act. Oh, by the way, West Virginia has decided to cancel any contracts, any business with any corporation that wants to go woke. So they're saying in a letter to, so you got ESG scores, you will not do business with West Virginia, period. I hope Alabama does that.
Don't count on it unless the citizens of the state start rallying for it. Because what happens in Alabama is we have one of the most conservative populations in the country. We are red-blooded, red Americans. But the folks who managed to get elected in our state tell us they believe what we believe. We're one of y'all. It's us against the world. But when they get in power, it is like pulling teeth. I mean, how many years did it take us to have some semblance of constitutional carry in one of the most pro-gun states in the country? John?
I agree. I completely agree, because I don't even know if we have constitutional carry now. But as far as the Peter principle is concerned,
yes,
I think Meemaw is the living example of it, because she just screwed up the PAC program and then walked away from it. And I mean, Bernie,
we got to roll,
Madoff,
John. I appreciate you, buddy. Computer's coming up, man. Thank you. We'll be back. Scott Beeson filling in on Right Side Radio. Phil Williams will be back Monday, and y'all can all be happy, but I appreciate you calling and being a part of the show. Was it John? John, I meant to tell you could hang over if you wanted to and finish your thoughts, but if you want to call back, feel free to do that. It's not a problem. I'll blame it on Boomer. Probably not really his fault, but that's what producers are for. Blame it on them. But now let's go to Ed. Ed, welcome to the program. Thank you for listening.
Can you hear me okay?
I can, Ed. What's going on, brother?
I was going to ask you, what do you think about Nancy Pelosi going to Taiwan and the ramifications of that?
Well, do you think she's going to go, Ed? Because I guess you heard earlier, I don't know when you tuned in, but earlier in the program, we were talking about the Chi-Coms, their news outlets. One of the little writers for, what is that called, Global Times? I think it's Global Times, said that if she went to Taiwan, that should be considered an invasion, and that the communist Chinese military should basically intercept it, try to block it, and then if they try to go around, they should shoot the American escort jets down and shoot Nancy Pelosi's plane down. And that was what the newspaper called for. Xi Jinping told President Biden that if they were, you know, if they lived by fire, they would die by fire. When I know you know, Ed, they mangled the quote, but hey, look, it's close. It's the Chinese version.
Well, do you think she'll go? Do you think she'll?
No, I don't think she'll go. And here is why. I think the Chinese already know she's not going to go. Therefore, the Chinese are going to make it look like that she didn't go because the U.S. was afraid of Chinese military action. And we will get another black eye on the international stage, which will come on the heels of the fact that everyone else in the world knows we're involved in the proxy war in Ukraine against Russia. And everybody else in the world knows that Ukraine is getting its backside whipped using our equipment and our advice and our logistics. And I think it just continues to diminish the prestige of the United States, which is fine with Biden and Pelosi and the whole lot of them. So it all works out perfectly. I would be shocked if she goes. What do you think?
Well, what I can't figure out why she would even want to go. And I can't figure out what we would gain from it if she went. I mean, I don't trust. I mean, who do we have in power that can actually negotiate in a way that's wise and good for America that's in the administration now? I mean, Pelosi, look, keep her home undercover somewhere.
I mean, think about it. Here's what's weird. Of the top three government officials, top four government officials in this country, the one who is probably the most competent, who might be the most crazy, really, but the most competent, is Chuck Schumer. And he's never in these conversations. Joe Biden has no business negotiating anything with anyone. Kamala Harris has no business negotiating anything with anyone. Nancy Pelosi has no business negotiating anything with anyone. Chuck Schumer's the closest thing we've got in the top four spots, and he's never involved.
Who was that guy that was, I think, vice president under Obama?
The vice president under Obama, that Biden guy?
No, not Biden. Excuse me, not Biden. There was the one guy. Maybe it was Secretary of State.
John Kerry?
After Hillary. Pardon me?
John Kerry?
Yeah, John Kerry. He might be a better alternative than Nancy Pelosi trying to negotiate something.
He might be. He's not very good at it. He's the one that's been off playing and talking with Iran the whole time.
As much as I can't trust left-wingers to negotiate anything, but, I mean, all I can say is, you know, we're stuck on elections having consequences and that these people are in power. I mean, all I can say is, can we survive this administration? That's my question. Now, they're foolishly getting us in a war with Russia right now. Now they want to foolishly get us in a war with China at the same time. I mean, what are we going to do? How do we get out of this, Scott?
I don't think we're going to be able to. And I'm going to be honest with you, Ed. I will be also shocked if by the time this administration is over, that Taiwan is not reunited with China. I will frankly be surprised. Because Americans have no stomach. I mean, where are they going to get the Americans to go fight the Chinese over Taiwan? The men and women, I kind of alluded to it earlier. The group of Americans that is the most likely to be pro-American, rah-rah, chant the U.S., you know, USA, hold the flag, those people are from the red states. They're from the South. They're from the Midwest. It's our folks that are the most likely to go, yeah, you poke us, we're it's on. And we are so put out. We're the bad people. We're the deplorables. We don't understand their democracy. We need to be crushed. We're domestic terrorists. Who are they going to go get to fight all these wars they're tentatively starting? Our folks?
I think the problem that could drag us into World War III is China's aligned with Russia. So yep. There's two chances we can get involved with Russia, with what we're doing, and we might just provoke them enough on our own. But if we get in a war with China, then we could get dragged into a war with Russia that way, because Russia would probably be more willing to come to the aid of China to fight us then. But you've also got countries in the region like India. While they seem to get along with Russia better than China, they've got a border dispute with China. And so if India and Japan both declare war on China to aid Taiwan, then we, you know, and if that fight gets started, there might be enough warmongers in the White House and the Congress to get us involved. I don't see much positive future in it. I don't see anything in it for America but a nasty war that I think would involve bombs on America. That's why I think this is a foolhardy endeavor in Russia. But it's even doubly foolhardy. But the problem is they make 90% of our military hardware chips that go into our military defense in Taiwan. And so it's not like but there are more geopolitical interests we have there in Taiwan than we do in Ukraine, and yet it looks like we're trying to get into a war with both of them right now. And China seems to be pushing the issue, and obviously Putin's pushing the issue. So what do we do?
We're in a really bad place, Ed. We absolutely are.
And at the same time, we've got a leadership and a commander-in-chief who does not exude commander of anything.
Correct.
He's going to be our military leader in anything, in war? Are you kidding me? And yet we got Republicans who should be a voice of reason that aren't on Capitol Hill. Where's their leadership saying this is imprudent? We got to get over this globalist fever of trying to build an American empire. And frankly, right now, I don't know how we get out of it.
Yeah, I don't either. The problem with getting out of it is that Russia and China both have things that they want. And if they decide to go take them, we're stuck. And we're not projecting power. And I do believe, Ed, and I think you'll agree, that one of the things that has gotten us into this trouble is, as a country, we no longer, and I think it started fading probably when, maybe during the Clinton administration, did it start fading? It might have started fading after Ronald Reagan, because I don't have a lot of faith in Bush Sr. either. But I think America became the country that could not be trusted. So think about this. You're a third world dictator, but your country is heavily endowed with natural resources, whatever those may be. America comes along and says, hey, you're our guy. We'll help you stay in power. We're good, right? You just keep doing business with us. China comes along. Vladimir Putin comes in, knocks on the door. It's like a college recruiting effort, okay? And they're like, hey, Mr. Dictator, you're the greatest guy. We want you to play for our team. And he's like, golly, America was here earlier. Now the Russians are here earlier. They're both saying they'll back us. They'll be our guy. They'll keep us in charge. I believe that what has happened to the United States is we have developed a reputation of not being able to be depended on. There's multiple examples. Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein was our guy. He was absolutely our guy. You know, we funded him, we helped him, we armed him because he was busy fighting the Iranians all the time, right? He was our guy. Then one day we just decided he had to go. Muammar Gaddafi, after Ronald Reagan sent the jets and dropped the bombs down the chimney, blew up some of his family. He said, you know what? I don't think I like being a terrorist. Can I be y'all's guy? We said, yes. He gets Libya under control. Is it still a crappy place? Yes. But it was under control. And then all of a sudden the United States decides, oh, we're going to get rid of him. And we're going to do that. We're going to figure out how to run guns to the bad guys in Syria who are not really the bad guys. They're the terrorists, but we're going to say they're the good guys, et cetera. It's just a circular firing squad. So I think what has happened, all of these people around the world have said, look, I can trust the Russians more than I can the Americans. I can trust the Chinese, who I know they're just looking out for themselves, but at least they keep their commitments. I can trust them more than I can the Americans. And I think that is what is flipping this American colonialism on its ear, is we've lied to people and taken advantage of them.
Well, I think the main legacy of our interventions overseas since World War II has been to destabilize just about every region over there. I mean, when the best thing you can say is we got a stalemate in Korea, and that's the best thing since World War II. And North Korea is still a threat. I mean, what have we done except cause the world to resent us and given our own leaders an opportunity to sell people down the river? I mean, like we sold people down the river most recently under Biden, the way we left Afghanistan. Arguably, we had a reason to be there in the beginning, but we had no exit strategy from the beginning. In other words, what victory would look like and when we could leave honorably. No, that was never defined. And so we ended up leaving in a way that was even more dishonorable than how we left Vietnam.
And we left all those Afghans who saved our military guys' lives, who helped us do things, who were on our side, who believed in America, and we left them to die. I'm going to be serious. If you had Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin both telling you, hey, I will do this for you, who would most people in this world trust more? And you know the answer, I know the answer. We're just not supposed to say it.
Well, what the thing about it is, we rebroadcast weakness, not strength. So if there was any way to deter Putin from doing what he did in Ukraine, he wouldn't have gotten that message from how we handled Afghanistan.
No, you're right. Ed, I got to take a break, brother. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, you too. Have a great weekend. We'll be back. We are back, everybody. Scott Beeson, Right Side Radio, filling in for Phil Williams. Phil will be back on Monday. It'll be so good when Phil's back. Everybody will be calm. They won't be worried about it. But I appreciate you. If you want to join the program, the number is 833-687-4448. 833-687-4448. If you've never called a talk radio show, this is the time to do it. I'm the nicest, most understanding, humble, won't make fun of you. Well, mostly won't make fun of you, host, that you could ever call in. So let's go to the phones. Clark from Albertville, welcome to the program. Thank you for listening.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Clark. What's going on, brother?
Hey, Scott. True story.
True story. Go.
Got a phone call from the principal of Coosa Christian School.
Okay.
About an hour ago. Guess where my state income tax is going to go from now on? 100% of what I pay the state.
Where?
It's going to go to Coosa Christian School for tuition for kids to go to school there that otherwise couldn't afford to go there.
Oh, are you taking part in the... Now, there was a program put in place years ago that was supposed to
there
be...
There was.
Did they expand it?
Well, now 100% of it can go to the school, and they've had a program. And, Scott, between the schools that I have talked to and my accountant and everybody else, yes, mm-hmm. There's a program. Nobody knew how to do it.
Oh. Now we know how to do it. Is that the deal?
Now we know how to do it. Now, you know, this is not the Arizona law where state and federal money can follow the child, or maybe state money.
Right.
But it's a start.
It is a start. And if it's the old law that ended up getting whittled down a little bit, there's a total amount, not for you and your donation, but once a certain amount is reached, they say, oh, we're not going to let this happen anymore. How that affects the school itself that's supposed to be directly benefiting, I don't know, but like you're saying, it is a step, and it's a step in the right direction, and maybe we'll get to the point where everybody is capable of sending their kids where they would like to send their kids to school. That would be real freedom, would it not, Clark?
That would be freedom. It would be freedom of choice. You know, Scott, 1.1 miles from where I sit right now, there used to be a Kmart. It's no longer there. One of the last Kmarts that was open in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I swear they wanted it to fail the last 10 years it was open.
We had that Kmart in Gardendale.
Well, you know, it's 1.1 mile from me, so I would like to patronize it because it's close, right?
Mm-hmm.
Scott, literally two people walked in the store, went to the jewelry department, stole $30,000 worth of Kmart jewelry.
Now, Clark, I have some questions. $30,000 worth of Kmart jewelry is like two tractor trailers full.
It is. And they went in there and they took it and nobody saw them do it.
God, it's horrible. I mean, it had to be buggies full.
that's how understaffed the store was, okay?
Right.
Now, if we would set up where I have the shop the same way we do the school, I would have had no choice. I could not drive 6 miles to the Walmart where I could actually ask somebody where something was. Someone would be manning a register when I wanted to check out, and they had better selection and prices.
Wait. Clark, you got to stop me again. Where is a Walmart at where there's somebody to help you and there's somebody to help you check out? Where is that Walmart?
Boaz, Alabama.
Because my Walmart's gone to Ghost Town, check yourself out, knock yourself out, check yourself out, and leave.
Well, Clark can make enough noise in sporting goods that if I need, like, a hunting license or something.
Right.
You know, customer needs help in sporting goods.
I think that's because they know you, Clark. They're like heading something off at the pass.
That's possible. But, you know, if we had the same thing with where I shop, is where what we had with the schools. Tell me where the incentive is to have a better store. You make the parent a customer, and then you have to have good customer relations. And that's the relationship we have now.
Let me ask you this. I speak to parents all the time. I was actually talking to one a couple of days ago who is moving from one school system to a completely new school system, not from school to school. And their child was bullied regularly. And I would make the case that we give all this lip service to bullying. We give lip service to, hey, let's do what's best for the child. Let's all try to do this, that, and the other. And under the system that you were proposing, where parents have the ability to choose and the money is in the little kid's backpack and goes to whichever school they choose for it to go to, wouldn't that serve children better? And kids who were bullied might be able to move somewhere?
You'd have to do something about it. You would not be under that Dear Comrade letter that Barack Obama sent out.
You got it. Hey, Clark, we got to take a break. You're welcome to stay over. I want to say goodbye to our stations. We're going to lose some of you, especially in the Birmingham area. Everybody else, stick with us. Hey, you can go listen to us online at multiple places. I don't know where that is. Boomer, where is that?
We got WVNN in Huntsville.
WVNN in Huntsville. Check them out. We'll be back.